I'd like to read a little scripture to you, and I'd like for you to give me your undivided attention for a little bit. They're going to make some films for TV tonight. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. We've talked from this a number of times, and each time we take a different avenue as to trying to express ourselves or telling what the Lord Jesus is doing. Notice this now. Just before the fourth chapter comes in the third chapter, there is a rebuke that's coming from the Lord. And this rebuke is coming to the last church age. This is the last church age. I'd like for you to think on that. This rebuke that is being received, or being given rather, is a rebuke to the last church age. And it don't sound good at all. Not at all. Some of the other church ages sounding pretty good. But this one doesn't sound good. This is the one that you're in, remember? This is the one that you're in. And you're the people that he's talking to in this one. This is the third chapter of the book of Revelation, the 13th verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the 4 beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the 4 beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the 2nd seal, I heard the 2nd beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the 3rd seal, I heard the 3rd beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the 4 beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." When he'd opened the 4th seal, I heard the voice of the 4th beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the 4th part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he'd opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when it opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the earth became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come." and who shall be able to stand? Reading a little bit, these are short chapters, just reading a little bit of scripture here, that we might be able to talk to you some about the wonderful Word of God. Notice this, he said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. This is an outstanding part of the Bible right here. It speaks of an open door in heaven. Did you know there had never been an open door in heaven? Never. Until the Lord Jesus came. I would ask the question, I would say, Lord, what do you mean an open door in heaven? What are you talking about? I don't see a door that's open in heaven. Of course, I couldn't, because I don't even see heaven unless I have eyes to see, unless I'm a real Christian. So then I would say, Lord, what do you mean a door that is open in heaven? And then I'm reminded of the day of Calvary. I'm reminded of a time of the rent veil. I'm reminded of a time when Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And he said, the prophets, one of the prophets, different ones, he said. He said, but Peter said, who do you think I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he said, even the revelation of Peter. Upon this rock, who is the rock but our God? Upon Christ. So then, upon Christ, he said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then we find Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching this great, wonderful gospel. And here Peter is lifting his hands up to God and before the people. And he's saying, repent, repent. What a message. Repent. He told the people, repent. There was thousands of people he was preaching to. Like Brother Grady was telling me, he said he had a vision that was preaching to 35,000 people. So then it was thousands of people, several thousand people at the very least. Even that many was added unto the church. And so then there was thousands of people, and Peter was preaching to them. And they said, Peter, what must we do? Peter preached until they were pricked in their hearts. And they were cut to their hearts. And Peter said, with wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory. The same Jesus that you've rejected, God has raised him up. And God has made him the chief cornerstone. And God has made him the head of the corner. And God has laid him in Zion for a stumbling stone of offense. And everyone that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And everyone that falleth upon the stone shall be broken. But upon whomsoever the stone falleth, it will grind him to powder. And they said, oh, Peter, what must we do? They were cut to their hearts. And Peter said, repent, every one of you. Repent, every one of you. Repent. That's the first steps toward God. That's the first steps toward the gospel. Is to repent. Every one of you, Peter said. Repent. And he said, be baptized. That's the next step. Be baptized, he said, in the name of the Son of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And that for the remission of sin. For he said, there's none other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. So then, he said, there is remission of sin in none other name. Repent, Peter said. And so then the Bible said that 3,000 people repented. And 3,000 people were baptized. And 3,000 people were added to the church. And God added to the church such as should be saved. And here is Peter, the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, Peter, I give unto thee the keys We're going to open a door, Peter, and I give unto thee the keys. Go over to the Gentiles and open the door, Peter. Open the door to the Jews, Peter, because we're going to open a door. I've given you the keys. And all of a sudden, beloved friend, there was a door open in heaven. And Brother John saw it. Brother John, exiled to the Isle of Patmos, he saw the mighty moving of God. Saw the Spirit of God moved and saw what God was doing. And there as he beheld it, the door opened in heaven. God opened a door in heaven. Never before have there been a door opened in heaven. But Peter said, "Thou art the Christ. The veil is gone from your eyes, Peter," Jesus said. "And thou hast seen into the world of glory." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he said, there's the door that's open in heaven, Peter. And here is the key. He opened the door. Folks, since that time, there has been a door opened in heaven. And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men press their way into the kingdom because there is a door open to the kingdom. There is a door now open in heaven. The kingdom of God has come. And the Bible said that we should pray, "Father, thy will be done in the earth as it is done in heaven." I wonder if you pray that way. I wonder if you pray, "Father, thy will be done in the earth as in heaven." I wonder tonight, or I wonder while I'm speaking here, I wonder how many of you actually pray to God that God would make your life to be like Jesus and would make your mind to think like Jesus. And I wonder how many of you are willing to give up all of the things of the world. You know, we was talking about the love of God today, and I was talking to my Gracie. And I said, "Gracie, do you know what the love of God is?" I said, "The Bible said that God so loved that he gave. He so loved that he gave." You don't love until you get to the place to where you can give. But the Bible says that he so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his Son. I said, "Gracie, when we get to the place to where we're willing to give our very lives for Christ, when we're willing to do away with all of our desires, when the ladies want to take the things out of their ears and out of their nose," they said they're already starting to put them in their nose. "So then when we get to where we want to get away from the heathen way of life," the Bible said, "choose not the ways of the heathens." When we get to where we want to put on clothing that's fit for us to be seen in. When we want to dress according to holiness. Well, God is life and God is the spirit of holiness. And without holiness, no man is going to see God or enter into that kingdom. When we get to where we can be holy before God, he said, "Be holy, for I am holy." And when we get to where we want to do the things that's right, I was explaining this to Gracie. I said, when we get to where we're willing to lay down our life for someone, when we get willing to do away with our ambition, to do away with our thinking, and to give our lives solely and completely unto God, I said, this is the love of God. I said, when we get to where that we're willing to give God our life, or give our life to our fellow man, to our friends, our brothers, our sisters, and we give this life, this life that we've got, we give this life. That is the love of God. But the Bible said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friend." When we get to the place to where we'll lay down our life for our neighbor, we get to where we'll say, "God, I could have great things in this world. I could have a great title. I could be a celebrity. I could have great things in this life. But God, I'm just going to give it up. I'm going to give up my ambitions. All that I could be, all that I could ever be in this world, I'm going to lay it aside. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to give it up just for you, just for you, God. I want to give it up. I want to be sure that I give it up for you.
Are you willing to do that?
I wonder how many of us are praying to this end, that we're willing to lay down our lives and lay down our ambition to look on the things of another and seek the things of another, esteeming others better than ourselves, rather than looking on the things of our own and desiring the things of our own. I wonder how many of us have come to that place. That is the love of God. That is the love of God. That is the way that it ought to be. When we get like that, then we'll be like Peter. We'll look in and we'll see the door open in heaven. There is the door open in heaven. Hundreds and millions of people didn't have the privilege of living in the day of the open door. But you know what? We're living in the day of the open door. Today there's a door that's open in heaven. God is doing something in a great and a mighty way. You and I are a part of it. It's up to you and I to move by the anointing of God, move by the Spirit, move by the Word of Christ, going in and out among the people, telling them of this great, wonderful gospel, and letting them know that a door is open in heaven. The law and the prophets since John, or till John, since that time the kingdom of God has been in the earth. Did you know that the kingdom of God is in the earth? Did you know that the kingdom of God is in the earth? Isn't that something? The Jews spent all of their life looking for the kingdom of God, expecting the kingdom of God to come. And then when the kingdom of God come, they didn't even see it. Isn't it something to hear Jesus stand there before the greatest people in the earth? Those that have the things of God according to the traditions, according to the law. And they're standing there and they're saying, if you be the Son of God, if you be this great king, then why don't you restore the kingdom to Israel? And Christ on the inside speaking back said it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Satan's kingdom is of this world. That's the thing that's so fascinating in the book of Revelation. Revelation 12. Here is the woman standing with her feet upon the moon, crowned with a crown of stars. And she's standing there upon the moon. She's clothed with the sun. And she's in travail. She's trying to bring forth her child. There she is. She's travailing in pain, waiting to be delivered. And the Bible said there was a great red dragon right there, ready to devour that child just as quick as it was born. You understand? The dragon was standing there right before the woman. Remember now, this woman was in heaven. This woman was in heaven. And there stood the dragon before the woman, ready to devour the child just as quick as it was born. And all of a sudden, the woman gave birth to a man child. And just as quick as the man child was born, the Bible said, up it went to the throne. God caught it up to the throne. Right on up to the throne. And the red dragon couldn't devour it. Couldn't get a hold of it. You know, we make mention of this sometimes. There's the first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's a third heaven. How many of you know that? A lot of people believe there's a first God and a second God and a third God. But anyway, there's a third heaven. And this child was caught up to that third heaven. You say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that the child was caught up to the third heaven? For one reason, the Bible said that the dragon was in heaven. And the Bible said the child was caught up into heaven. John said, I looked, and in heaven, there was the dragon. So that makes us know there's two of those heavens. And Paul spoke about being caught up into the third heaven. So we know there is a third heaven. And so there it was, the woman, heavy with child, carrying the child, in great travail, waiting to be delivered. And the very moment that she was to be delivered, the Bible tells us that the dragon was waiting to devour the child, the old red dragon. You know, we don't understand a lot of times. We don't understand spiritual things because we're not spiritual. But the Bible tells us that all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, these that we see with our very eyes. And so then when we look at it through the spiritual eyes of God, he being spiritual judgeth all things, the Bible tells us. So then we look at it, and there it is, the red dragon. And we say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, the red dragon? Think on it now. Be spiritual. Understand what God is saying. The red dragon. What was the red dragon? What was this threat to the child? Who was this red dragon? Who was it? It was the blood life. It is the blood life. John saw that as future. It has never yet come to pass as to the casting out, as to you see. But it was the blood life. See, the blood life from the garden, the fall, brought blood life in. Took them out from under the Shekinah glory of God. And it became blood life. And when God speaks of that people, he called it a generation of vipers. He called it the red dragon because of the blood. He said the blood life, the red dragon. You ever notice medical profession? See the snake wrapped around the pole, the days of Moses? You understand what I'm saying? The dragon, the blood life. And so then God said, John, leave the axe to the root of the tree. I'm going to cut down that blood life. I'm going to do away with that old tree of knowledge. We're going all the way back, he said to Eve. And we're going to do away with that generation altogether. We're going to do away with them people. Because that is the tree of knowledge. That is the serpent. That is a generation of vipers. That is the blood life. He said in that blood life, Satan living in the flesh, having infiltrated the flesh, said he's laying in there waiting to devour that inner man of Christ, the second man from glory, even Christ, the inner man. That outer man, Satan has enveloped, Satan has infiltrated. The Bible said he's waiting to devour that child as soon as it's born, to get control of that child. And you hear it, now listen, the church, don't get mixed up now. Don't get confused. Listen. The church, what is it doing? I've said this a number of times. The church world, great and mighty is the church world. But what is the church world doing? They put ball games, they put pool tables, they put worldly frolics into the church. Today, God is gone out of the church, and the Christians are gradually moving out. And she's becoming a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means evil spirits. And so then, there it is. Just as quick as that child is born, the church is in the second heaven, and the church is heavy with child. And the church is ready to bring forth Mary at the very time that she was ready to deliver. They took her up to Bethlehem. They took her there into this area. They were to be taxed right at the time that she was ready to go into travail. See, the world is there waiting to devour that child. Herod was there waiting to devour that child. In the days of Moses, when he came as the prophet, showing the coming of Jesus, Pharaoh was waiting to devour that child. See, God has got a leader. God has got men and women that are leaders in the world today. And they're not their own. They're bought with a price. They're bone of his bone and they're flesh of his flesh. And Paul said it's not them living but Christ. And the world is waiting to devour the members of that body of that child. The church is in travail. Everything is happening. They call her a Jim Jones. They come down on it. The government. The people, the IRS, everybody is coming down on the church. See, and the church is heavy with child. And all the time, this great crushing power is coming down on the church. There in the second heaven, the old red dragon, the intellectual powers of the world, the government, the regime of the world, Satan's kingdom, the prince of this world, even Satan, the god of this world. That blood life laying in there, just as quick as a child comes forth, he says, let's make a ball player out of it. Let's make a president out of it. Let's make a senator out of it. Let's put it through college. Let's do something with it. Get its mind off of God. Do anything but get that child. Don't let that child grow up into the knowledge of God. Don't let that child come into the power of God. Don't let that child come into the great revelation of Christ. Devour that child. Get that child. The old red dragon is laying right there. But you know, in spite of all that the devil can do, all that the generation of vipers can do, that child is still being caught up. That real, genuine, true child of God. That child has been caught up to that mind of Christ. It's being elevated from the mind of man, the world of education, and it's getting another mind, and God is bringing it into a different place, catching it up to the third heaven. And God is doing something to that child, and that child is being caught up, and that child's mind is being revelated, and that child's mind is becoming great and mighty. And that child's becoming a great power of understanding, a great power of leadership. And the knowledge of that child is so much greater than the greatest professors of this world. Until everybody's going to have to take a bow. And this great, wonderful mind of God, there it is, and the child has been caught up. The red dragon laying in there, trying to devour the child. That's why the angel screamed out as God sent the angel through the air. And the voice screamed out, said, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins, for her sins has reached unto heaven. You know, they've got to climb up to the moon. They've got to get up to the stars. And though thou makest thy nest among the stars, I will cast thee down to hell, he said. So then, God is elevating, lifting up, changing, bringing the child up to the throne. Hallelujah. Bringing it up to that wonderful place so that it can rule with the rod of iron, even the word of God, the mind of Christ. This great child, the membership of the body of God, even Christ within the heart. So then, this door is open in heaven, this great door, Revelation 4. Four, the Laodicean age. And all of a sudden John said, behold, there is a door open in heaven. The law and the prophets unto John. There is a rent veil. Now Lucifer's cast out. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So then he's cast out. And now there's a rent veil. And there is a door open in heaven. And the voice said, John, come up hither. Come up here, John. And up John went, away into heaven John went. That voice said, come up hither, John. See, John, the disciple of love. Love as strong as death. There it was, the love of God. The door had been opened. Peter had opened a door to the Gentiles. Peter had opened the door to the Jews. And here John gets a revelation a few years later, being exiled to the Isle of Patmos. There, he got a revelation, and he saw this door that Peter had opened. The law and the prophets, unto John. Since that time, men have entered into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now in the earth. Are you listening? Somebody says, where's the kingdom of God, Brother Pike? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of God. The Bible said the red dragon, the flesh and the blood shall not inherit this kingdom. But you can have this kingdom. Somebody said, I want to get into that kingdom, Brother Pike. The kingdom of God is something that goes into you. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation, but is within a man. It's the mind of Christ. It's the spirit of Almighty God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then, this kingdom of God, you inherit this. It comes into you. The law and the prophets unto John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. And men press their way into the kingdom. And the Bible said, for God has translated you, translated me, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So here we are, the kingdom of God, a door that's open in heaven. I'm looking to you, at you tonight. I'm speaking to you tonight. I'm telling you tonight that there is a door open in heaven. Maybe you've never seen it. Maybe you didn't know it was there. I'm telling you that the kingdom of God is at hand. Not off somewhere, not in a foreign place, but the kingdom of God is right here with you. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right here. What should you do? Repent. Repent. Repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. Repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. Do you have the kingdom of God? Somebody would say, I believe in God, Brother Pike. That doesn't mean you have the kingdom of God. Just because you believe in God, just because you believe there's a God, that doesn't mean that you have faith in God. I say this again, mere believing is not faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. So then if you have faith, it's because the word of God has been preached. And you've heard the word of God. And if you believe in the word of God, that is faith. But just to believe isn't faith. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. But the devil doesn't have faith. But he does have believing. So mere believing isn't faith. So then what do? We hear the word of God. We find out what the word of God says. What does the word of God say, Brother Pike? Well, in one place, it says in the latter times, they shall depart from the faith. They shall depart from believing in the word of God. It don't say they will depart from believing. It says that they will depart from the faith, which means believing in the word of God. They will heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they will not follow Christ nor the ministry, but doctrines of devils, the Bible said, they will follow. They will sear their conscience with a hot iron. They'll try to mix darkness with light. And they'll do the things of the world when the Bible tells us that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So then, faith, to be saved by faith in God, to be justified by faith in God, they will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So then, how do we approach the kingdom of God? By faith. And the Bible said, for God, by faith, hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We find our inner being, we find our spiritual being, having been translated into the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God, even by faith of that Spirit, our faith in that Word, which is Spirit. So then we find that God translates us into the marvelous kingdom. Then we find that we've got an inner power, we've got an inner might, we've got an inner strength. And God tells us to be strengthened by the might and power of that inner man. So then, finding this great power of faith and this great shield of faith, we're able to do something for God. We're able to move on. We're able to grow strong. We're able to help others. We're able to persevere. We're able to stand when others fall all around us. Why? Because we believe in the Word. We don't just believe. We believe in the Word. You may believe, but what does the Word say? If I'm to be saved by faith in the Word, repent. Every one of you, the kingdom of God is at hand. Receive the kingdom. Repent. Repent. What did he say? Faith in the word. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then faith in the word. He said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? And Peter stood up and said, there is a door that is open in heaven. And Peter said, inasmuch as this door has been open in heaven, he said to the people, he said, repent. Every one of you must repent of your sins, Peter said. He did not ask them to repent. He commanded them to repent. It was a command from God for them to repent. He did not ask them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, but he commanded them to be baptized, every one of you, he said, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And the Bible said that they obeyed, and 3,000 people was added unto the church, and the first church came into power. This is what I mean about faith. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I've got to repent? I mean to tell you, you've got to repent. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that I've got to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus? That my baptism is not good enough? I'm telling you that you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For remission shall be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Bible tells me that I must tell you, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. I must tell you that you must repent of your sins, and you must be baptized in water, by immersion, in water. As the original word is to plunge under. So then in water, you must be baptized for the remission of sin, that you may receive the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. You say, Brother Pike, what is the kingdom of God? If I repent, if I be baptized in Jesus' name, what is the kingdom of God? He said, and ye shall receive the kingdom of God. Or he said, that is, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of Christ. Ye shall receive the Spirit of the Word. Ye shall receive the Spirit of Christ, even the Holy Ghost, which is the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is now at hand. Peter, who do men say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, Peter. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, that you might receive the kingdom of God. For this is your hope of glory, even Christ inside of you. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have that hope of glory. The Bible said he alone was made heir to the glory of God. And it was he that appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah. Without that spirit, you don't have the kingdom of God. You don't have the hope of glory. You don't have eternal life. You say, but I believe, Brother Pike. That's great. I'm glad that you are a believer. So does the devil believe. But you can believe and still fellowship the devil. You can believe and still be the right-hand man of the devil. You can believe and be as religious as Cain was, and the devil can use you with a regularity to create hypocrisy and to stand at the door and not enter and hinder others that would come. You can be a false brother, as we say, as it was with those that was with Paul in that day. You can be spots and blemishes in the feast of charity, wells without water, and you can be stars, even wandering stars, that hold no place of permanency as to a duty to God, no place as to sharing with God, as to helping the kingdom of God, as to supporting the kingdom of God. Your mind can be so fuddled up that you will think everything's right when you're nothing but a hypocrite, when you're living in hypocrisy. Jesus said, thou hypocrite. He said, you're whited sepulchres. Said, you don't. Men don't see you. You're polished. Men don't see you. You're full of dead men's bones. And said, people fall into you unawares. See, you may be religious. You may be a believer. But you might be the right-hand man of the devil. Now listen. I ain't going to go too much farther here now. So then, he said, repent. Why should he repent? That he might receive something. What should he receive? even the Holy Ghost. For I said, and the Holy Ghost is unto you, and unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord should call. For the Holy Ghost, he said, is unto the Methodist, and the Holy Ghost is unto the Baptist, and the Holy Ghost is unto the Presbyterians, and the Holy Ghost is unto the Catholics. And the Holy Ghost is unto all that be afar off, for the promise is unto you. And the Holy Ghost is Christ, even the promised seed. And the Holy Ghost is unto you. All that God calls, you're supposed to receive the Holy Ghost. When Peter preached at Cornelius's, all of a sudden the Spirit fell upon them. And they received the Holy Ghost. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus. Peter said, here's some water. Said, you need to be baptized. You received the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, God give the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. So, do you have the Holy Ghost? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, somebody said, I shout, Brother Pike, I speak in tongues. That doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. Somebody would say, well, that's the initial evidence when you're speaking tongues, Brother Pike. I'd like for you to show that to me in the Bible. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. There's no such teachings in the Bible. He said, but on the day of Pentecost, Brother Pike, they all spoke with tongues. I know. And the people said, they do speak in our language wherein we were born. We understand everything they're saying. Paul said, as to tongues, if ye all speak in tongues, will they not say that you're crazy? That you're out of your mind? How's the unlearned going to say amen, seeing he understand not what you say? Beloved friend, on the day of Pentecost, they understood everything they said. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why did God then come in the form of tongues at Pentecost? For one reason. Because the Jews was a hostile people. They had drifted away from God. There wasn't living right. And they said, bless God, we're God's people, and all of you are a bunch of dogs. Are you listening? And God confounded the Jews. And God moved, and God said, I want you to know, as all of the world, that I speak your language. I'm the God of your language as well as the God of the Jews' language. I'll confound the Jews, and I'll speak in all of your languages that you might know that I'm the God of all the earth. But I'm not just the God of the Jews. And the Bible said Paul shook his raiment. He preached to the Jews, and he shook his raiment. And the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. And he left the others, and he said, I go to the Gentiles, the ones that you call dogs. I'll go get a bride for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. He said, it's not me living anyway, it's Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so then, we see God moving, bringing the Holy Ghost, bringing the Holy Spirit. This is what's wrong with the world today. There's a charismatic move that has risen up. We predicted years ago that it would come. We said that even the Pope would put his blessings upon it. That it would go into the Methodists, it would go into the Baptists. Would go into all the churches. And they would come into it. Hundreds and thousands and millions of people would join it. And many good people would get caught in it. Many babes in Christ would get caught in it. But I said, at the same time, these people will not live holy. And they'll not live godly. And they'll not live pure. I said, they won't have God. Are you listening? Somebody says, Brother Pike. I said, these people that do that won't have God. They'll say, hallelujah. Glory to God. They'll shout. They'll praise the Lord. But they won't have God. The Bible said, praise is comely for the upright, and they're not upright. And they'll do all of these things, and they'll say, I'm filled with the Great Spirit. This is the move of the Great Spirit. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. We shout, we speak in tongues. We have a great time. We play our music. My, how great this is. We praise the Lord. Sure they do, because the rain is on the tares as well as the wheat. It is poured out upon the tare, and the tare is dancing, and the tare is enjoying it, and the tare has to have it to live. Are you following me? The tare enjoys the water just as much as the wheat. But when the harvest comes, there's nothing but the burning of the tare. There is nothing for God. She said, "What do you mean, Brother Pike?" I mean that when we have genuine charisma, real, genuine, godly charisma, then we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. You know, there's two definitions as to the word charisma. And one of them goes to Christ as the real Christianity. And the other goes back to a paganistic God of a paganistic worship, not having God. But folks, God is the Spirit of holiness. And if you live holy, then you have God within you. You have God, you have eternal life, you have the Spirit of Christ. So then I said the other day, and I want to repeat it again right here. Holiness has nothing to do with your body. It has nothing to do with your vessel, your ritualistics, your conformities. Holiness has nothing to do with it. Holiness is God, and God is the Spirit, and that Spirit is life. And as I said the other night concerning this glass I hold in my hand, this glass, the water in it has nothing to do with the container, nor does the container have anything to do with the water. The water is water all by itself, and the glass doesn't add anything or take anything away from it. God is holiness. His holiness all by himself is God. He is the Spirit of life and holiness. No one has anything to God. But folks, let me tell you, though you cannot have holiness by ritualistics, whether it be Pentecostal ritualistics or Catholic ritualistics, yet you can have holiness by having God in the vessel. If God is in the vessel, the songwriter said, you can laugh at the storm. So then, if God is within your vessel, then you have holiness. For God is the Spirit of holiness. And as to what degree of God that you have in your life, that is how much holiness you have in your life. And according to the measure of holiness that's in your vessel, that's how much conformity that you will find in your vessel is to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or going on to a full experience or full reward, as Paul said. According to the measure of holiness in you, so are you holy, and so will your body conform to the divine nature of Jesus Christ according to that measure. So then, God is holiness, and if you want the Holy Ghost, you've got to have God. You've got to have Christ. You've got to pour him into your vessel. Forget about Pentecostal experiences. Forget about those things. Somebody says, I'm Pentecost. That's great. That's great. But what's Pentecost got to do with it? Pentecost was a feast of the Jews, their time of jubilee, where debts was forgiven. It was only a type of the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's all it was, and God chose that day to fulfill the Scripture. What's Pentecost got to do with it? Folks, the Bible didn't say that they were called Pentecostals. It said they were called Christians. It didn't say they were called Charismatics. It said they were called Christians. Why did God let them use that term? Because it means Christ-like. Those folks were Christ-like. When you've got Christ's Spirit, when you've got the divine nature of the Son of God, you're going to be Christ-like. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let me say this to you, and trying to close right here. God said, and there's going to come a terrible time. He said, and there shall come what he referred to as the hour of temptation. He said, and this hour of temptation shall come upon all of the world, and I believe we're living in it right now. So he said, in the time of this great hour of temptation, remember, men are falling everywhere, women are falling everywhere, people that have lived for God for many years, they're falling. But the great hour of temptation has come. So then, God said, in this great hour of temptation shall come upon all of the world to try them that live in the world. He said, and those that have kept my patience and the words of my patience, said, these will be the overcomers. All of the rest of them that had ritualistic all kind of formalities, but didn't practice holiness, didn't live for God, didn't get filled with the Spirit, didn't control themselves as to their passions and eatings and desires, they won't overcome. When this great hour of temptation comes, they will fall. For God is going to put before all of the church world everything that your heart could wish for. Everything. There won't be nothing that'll be hid or held back. And God is going to show you everything that the flesh lusts after. And the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. The lust of the spirits. And God is going to bring it before you. And God said, and you're going to fall. You're going to fall. He said, you're not going to be able to endure. Only those that have kept the words of my patience, them I will keep in the time of the great temptation. Folks, it's everywhere. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Somebody said, I'm a believer, Brother Pike. Do I have to be re-baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? You certainly do. You certainly do. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, it says in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, or to the Great Commission, that I'm to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Don't you believe that, Brother Pike? He said that God sent you, you would speak God's word. I want you to know that that is exactly right. And the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do you believe in that? I believe in that. And God said to those same apostolic leaders, he said, you baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, yea and amen. He said, go tarry at Pentecost until you be endued with power from on high. Then preach this great sermon. Then set up the church. Then add 3,000 to the church. And Peter went over there and said, repent of every one of you, he said, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For it is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that Peter didn't say that. I know he didn't say those words. But folks, I'm trying to explain to you the way it is. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You show me any place in the Holy Word of God, anywhere, from Genesis to Revelation, where Matthew 28 was ever fulfilled by any preacher or any apostle other than Jesus' name baptism. Show me one. I challenge anybody in the world to do it. There's not one. You can't show me one. He said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, if the Bible doesn't have any more meaning than that, and God told him to go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the very apostolic foundation and all of the leaders refused to do it, then let's throw the Bible into the river. Let's forget about it. It's not true. There's nothing to it. We're a bunch of fools for trying to follow it. Because if Acts, the second chapter and the 38th verse, are in that scripture, if that wasn't the fulfillment of Matthew 28, then that means that never, never has there been in the history of the world or ever will be the way they're going. A fulfillment of Matthew 28. There's not one scripture in the Bible where Matthew 28 was ever fulfilled, if that wasn't fulfilled. And so then 11 disciples, Judas had committed suicide. 11 disciples stood there. And Peter said, the name of Jesus, fellas. They said, the name of Jesus. Is that the revelation, Peter? That's the revelation. What do we do? They said, this is the apostolic teachings. This is the apostolic doctrine. And the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is the apostles' doctrine. And it's the only doctrine God ever had. It's the church. I challenge you to show me anything different. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So then God fulfilled Matthew 28. I believe in Matthew 28. And brother and sister, I believe in doing what God said. And that's what Peter did. And Peter opened a door in heaven. And 3,000 souls was added unto the church. And they were translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Isn't that wonderful? So then there's no confusion. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, great light is spring up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. And the Bible said, in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. So then there's no confusion. God said it. I believe it. That's the way it is. Amen. No doubt. Hallelujah. No Pentecostal experiences. As to the ritualistics, Jesus said, be holy, I'm holy. How can I be holy? Somebody said, fast and pray. So the man said, I fast twice a week. I do my praying. I pay tithe of all that I possess. God said, I'm sorry, that's not holiness. The other man said, I'm wretched. Have mercy on me. And God's spirit entered into the man, so to speak. God had compassion upon him and said, that's my own righteousness. Here, you can have it. The others, the Pharisees. Your righteousness has got to exceed self-righteousness and that of ritualistics and that of the Pharisees. He said, you've got my righteousness. That exceeds. And the man went down to his house justified. Hallelujah. Therefore, being justified by faith, not believing, but faith, that faith in the word, coming by the hearing of the word. He said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, if you believe in what I said, if you believe in what the Bible said, if you believe in what the preacher preached, then it's time to get baptized in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. If you don't, it's time to argue. It's time to dispute. It's time to run back to your church. It's time to go back to your paganistic practices. It's time to go back and let your teacher, let your pastor, let your preacher, the one with a corrupt mind, the one that's mixed up, the blind leading the blind. All of you can fall into the ditch. Or you can take the word of God and say, hey, preacher, wait a minute now. Somebody said, yeah, you just believe that preacher you heard. That's what it was. Say, no, preacher, I've got the word of God. That preacher you're talking about that I heard, he isn't even here. Preacher, you open the Bible. And you explain it to me, preacher. And you tell me what it means. Hallelujah. And so somebody said, I baptize you in the name of the Father. And that's for remission. And he lied. And somebody said, and I baptize you in the name of the Son. And that's for remission. And he lied. And somebody said, I baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost. And that for remission. And he lied. You say, why, Brother Pike? Because there's no remission in the name Father. There's no remission in the name Son. We have the name Son. We have the name Father before Christ ever came. There's no remission in the name Holy Spirit. Our Holy Ghost. We have the word Ghost. Before Jesus ever come. Even though he's the only ghost that was ever holy. But now he's made mine holy. And yours holy. By his presence within. So then remission of sin shall be preached in the name Jesus. Beginning at Jerusalem. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you have put faith in God, and your faith has been manifested by your deeds. And you come up in the promise of the Holy Ghost, even the Spirit of Christ, even the kingdom of God, even the eternal life. The kingdom of God being at hand, you can receive it. It's unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So then, if you've not received the Holy Ghost since you believe, then believe and receive the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this and try to close. Paul, having met certain ones at the upper coast of Ephesus, he said, brethren, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Oh no, Paul, we've not received the Holy Ghost. He said, well, now wait a minute. Why haven't you received the Holy Ghost? He said, under what baptism was you baptized? See, he knew something was wrong. Somebody said, well, baptism don't matter, Brother Pike. Why did he ask him about it then? Somebody said, but I got revelation. I know Paul was the one that brought it to us. He was the overseer of the church. Somebody said, but I don't believe you have to be baptized, Brother Pike. I know you don't, but the overseer of the church said as many has been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. And he said, I plant and Apollos watereth. God giveth the increase. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, I don't see where I have to be baptized. I'm a professional man. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a president. That's fine. But when the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the God of Gods, the great and mighty God, looks at you, professional men, and he says, what made you think that you were so professional and important that you couldn't take time to be baptized in water What I myself am the God of heaven and of earth, and made a body and come down to a muddy river and was baptized in your presence to let you know that there was none too great or small to be baptized. If I had time to do it, then why was you too busy? Why was you so important? And it's going to be a sad day, folks. Somebody said, well, how was he baptized? Couldn't have been baptized but one way. That was in his name. Somebody said, praise the Lord. I said, he was Jesus. He was baptized in his name. That was the only way he could be baptized. Somebody said, well, why would he have to be baptized in the name? Because the Bible said it was the Father's name, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth was named. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And the Father said, I'll give you a name that nobody knows because you've done that, son. He said, I've kept them in your name, Father. Not lost one of them except the son of perdition. So then, should you be baptized? You better be baptized. Peter commanded them to. You better be rebaptized. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, no. He said, how was you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. He said, John baptized with repentance. Or under repentance. Said, believe on the name. The name's coming. And when the name come, they baptize in the name. Because remission is in the name. So then, that's where we are, folks. There's the door open in heaven. What is that door? Jesus said, I'm that door. The name Jesus, I am that door. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the door. No man can get to the spirit of life, the spirit of holiness, God, except he comes through me, through the name. We sing that song, there is power in the blood, there is power in the name. Hallelujah. The devil don't like that, but he don't know how to get around it. I said the devil don't like that. The old carnal mind don't like that. That old blood life don't like that. That old red dragon don't like that. That old intellectual devil don't like that. He's trying his best to devour that child. He says, now you see here, I've been to college and I know how this goes. I've studied. I'm the one that's called. Pay no attention to all of this about this Jesus name thing. You just do what I tell you. And you go ahead and do it. And he could say to you, and we'll both go to hell together. I'll be the blind, and I'll lead the blind, and we'll all fall into the ditch. Poor deceived people. But folks, let's don't be like that. Hallelujah. Let's take the word of God, and let's preach the word of God. Let's tell people about God's word. Let's don't get into some charisma or something in the world out there that doesn't have holiness. If you want to be charismatic, if you want to be filled with the charisma, then get full of the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, I shout, Brother Pike, and speak in tongues. I'm Pentecostal. I don't care if you dance like a wild Indian. David danced with all of his might. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. That don't mean nothing. Are you listening? Well, how do I know when I've got the Holy Ghost? You'll live holy. You'll be partakers of that divine nature, and you'll quit chewing the cud and sucking on a weed. You'll quit lusting after your neighbor's wife, and you'll straighten up, and you'll be holy even as he is holy. You'll get away from that old television, the dirty, filthy things that's coming out of the slop hole of Hollywood. Pardon my expression, I'm still country boy. And you'll get down to some reality, and you'll get away from the things of the world, the ball games and the dogs. Going down the road today over in Winder, I looked it up on the big tank, there was the picture of the dog. And I said, Betty, I said, do you understand why they do that? I thought I'd tell her, but she already knew. She said, sure. I said, why? She said, because they're kin to the dogs. Said, dogs are kin to dogs. Jesus said, them that are without are dogs. And said, naturally, dogs is going to take up time with dogs, just like we're people take up time with people. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then, that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. Daddy used to say, all the people's gone to the dogs. You love the Lord? Not all the people have gone to the dogs. So then, if you've not received the Holy Ghost, if you've not been filled with the kingdom of God, it's at hand. If you've not been translated into this marvelous kingdom, if you're not part of this great body of Christ, as bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh, let me give you an invitation tonight. As you stand with me, let me give you an invitation tonight to come into this great thing. Pay no attention to what you hear. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. The Bible said it. I believe it. God said, he that I send will speak the word. You're going to keep on messing around with college students, Bible scholars, all this knowledge, Paul said, science falsely so-called. until they're going to mess the Bible up, and they're giving all kind of translations, and some intellectual, supposedly genius, is putting his 2 cents worth in, and he's changing the Word of God and twisting it around until you can get a new version and you can get all kind of things. And when you get it, you've got nothing but a bucket of slop. And they change the Word of God into a lie. And you're going to keep on. The people are going to keep on until the Word of God is going to be taken away from them. And there ain't going to be no King James Version. Ain't going to be no real God so far as the Word. When the Word's gone, there's no God. This is the authentic thing. This is the absolute. This has been proven down through the years. The other is ideology and theology. But this right here has been proven through the centuries. It's the only true history of mankind. It's been proven to be that way. And you're going to keep on messing around with men's ideas until they're going to do away with it. I'm going to say this right hurriedly. I read an article just a few days ago where a bunch of theologians are coming together. And they're going to decide what is God's Word and what's not God's Word. And it's absolutely unbelievable, the foolishness that they portrayed. And they're going to bring this out. And this is going to be what you have. And the glorious Word of God is going to be taken away. And you know what's going to happen? That means the door that was open in heaven will be closed. And the door to that great ark will be closed. And you can't go in, and the wrath of God will come. And you'll run around like a bunch of heathens trying to worship God. And you'll be worshiping some paganistic idea or some theology of some man that's had a brainstorm. So people, listen to the Word of God while you can. Faith by the hearing of the Word. In the last days they'll depart from the faith, giving heed to those seducing devils and those doctrines of devils, because that's what they're going to be. Devils that's used mankind's ideas to establish themselves. I appreciate you tonight. I thank the Lord for you staying there with me. He said, it's uncomfortable, Brother Pike. It's hot. Have you ever tried preaching under these kind of lights? You can learn a lesson. Be thankful for what you've got, the songwriter said. Be thankful for what you've got. So then tonight, I want to leave those thoughts with you. I want you to think on those things. I'm standing here tonight very grateful because my Joseph is here, whole, and healthy. Just come out of a wreck. I had a vision of him. Told him what I saw. Told the mother. Told him to be careful. And it looked like a big man jumped on him and really beat him and hurt him. And I believe it had to do with the police because it was like they were swinging a billy stick. And I thought, you know, when those things happen, it could be a wreck or something like that. And sure enough, Joseph had a wreck. And when they told me it had a wreck, it never moved me at all because I'd already seen the vision. He come through it all right. Everything was fine. Of course, he's here as far as I know. I guess that's him standing out to him and Randy. Looks like Joe standing out there. Come right on through the wreck. God took care of it. God is good. God is good. You love the Lord? So then, it's so wonderful forever and forever and forever and forever. So then let's praise the Lord just a little bit, and then we'll let you go. Just bear with me a little bit. If you're warm, so am I. So, well, I can't get any water. Well, you could one at a time if all of you don't leave at the same time. There's some downstairs. Let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, yet in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it with me one more time. For we've anchored our souls in God's heaven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Can't you sing tonight? Wear a crown. Wear a crown. If you're gonna wear a crown like I am, sing it. Sing it. Crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Sing it with me. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Sing it with me one more time, can you? Wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, can you say glory to God? Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Uramandaramashiandriandaramosandaramosandriandaramosandaramanaya. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they said amen. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ain't he sweet? The Bible said, taste of him and see if he's good. Let's sing that song, can't we? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. Much fairer, you're fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, oh, more precious. Can you sing it with me again? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You're brighter than the morning star. Much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Let's sing this little chorus, can you? Give me a key, Frank. How many of you know Jesus is sweet? Sweeter each day, grow sweeter each day. My Jesus, grow sweeter, prolong life's way. All through the garden, I hear Jesus say, my love, grow sweeter. Can you sing it with me again? Grow sweeter every day. Grow sweeter each day, my love. Grow sweeter along life's way. All through the garden, I hear Jesus say, my love, grow sweeter. Can you sing it just one more time? Grow sweeter each day. Grow sweeter each day. My love, grow sweeter along life's way. All through the garden, I hear Jesus say, my love, grow sweeter each day. Can you bow your heads with me now? Sweeter each day, it grows sweeter each day. All through the garden, I can hear Jesus say, this love grows sweeter each day. We're going to sing this little chorus with your eyes closed, with your heads bowed. In a few minutes, we're going to let you go. You'll be nice and fresh, feeling good. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this chorus. While we're singing this chorus, I want you to come to the altar tonight. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Sing it one more time. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross.
is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you.
Don't you just love Jesus? I feel like we just ought to sing this song.
Let's sing one more time.
Let's try this song. They'll come from the east and the west. How many believe they're going to do that?
They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land of far to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face. Aglow with his light divine, we're blessed partakers of God's grace. As gems in his crown.
Can you sing it one more time?
They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land of far to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace. As rims in his,
just one more time.
They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his to shine.
Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes. Can you say praise the Lord? Can we give the Lord a hand? Can you love Jesus tonight? Are you glad that you're here? Let's say hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord. Let's leave tonight praising God and giving him glory. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. I feel it all over, don't you?
Glory. Hallelujah.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said, if the Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, he will by the Spirit quicken your mortal body. Can you feel God quicken your body? Sometimes, you know, I'll be standing, I'll say, ooh, just like that. God, he'll strike my body. I'll feel the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah, that same great power that reaches down to the grave and springs them up. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, Brother Lynn. It's wonderful. Ooh, I feel so good. I feel so good. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Ooh, don't you feel God healing you? If you feel God healing you, lift your hands up. Oh, I feel Him healing. I feel Him healing. Glory to God, I feel God healing. Ooh, I feel God healing. There's faith. There's faith. Hallelujah. When Christ is in the vessel, you can laugh at the storm. And I feel God in your vessel tonight. I feel the kingdom of God on the inside of you tonight. I feel that Christ, that's your hope of glory. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Makes you feel good, Brother John. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder Moses went 40 days and then went back for 40 more. Hallelujah. It took him that long to run down. You love the Lord? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you. Before I go, I want you to lift your hands up and I want you to believe with me. And I want to pray with you tonight. Can I do that? I want you to be like Elisha. Oh, Brother Elisha, he had a double potion of that. They killed him, throwed him down in the grave, and it still wasn't even safe to get around him. They took a dead man that was trying to hide their sins, and they went over there and throwed him in on Elisha, and that fellow sprang up like a jack in the box. Come back to life. I want you to be like that. Every time somebody gets close to you, I want them to come to life. Think about that. You're God's. You are God's. Jesus said you're God's. Hallelujah. When you get close to the graveyard, start calling them people out of that grave. When you get close to out there, you know somebody is close to you, should have start running over. Oh, glory. You know somebody, woo, what is this I feel? Hallelujah. I stand over to funeral home. You ever stayed at a funeral home? Kind of a gruesome feeling. I was standing at a big old two-story funeral home and all dark. And I was there by myself. Wasn't nobody but me and Tom, the dog. And I was sleeping right across from the embalming room. While I was in there, I thought, my God, I looked to see them caskets. You know, I had a little screen there and it pulled back. And you could just look right there and see them caskets. I thought, I just don't feel good at all. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, it felt worse. Boy, I thought about being by myself, the worse it felt. But you know, I prayed. And I invited the presence of God, and I got feeling all right. And I prayed. And then the embalmer came back. And one day the embalmer said to me, he said, what have you done to me? I said, I ain't done nothing. He said, what do you do to my bed? I said, I didn't do nothing to it. Oh, he said, there's something wrong with it, so I can't sleep on it. He said, I feel like there's something all in it, so I can't sleep on it. Hallelujah. I have to admit, I did say, Lord, anoint this thing. Fix this thing to where he can't rest, you know, until he comes to the Lord. He said, you've done something to it. You put something in my bed. Hallelujah. If God can do that to a bed, what can he do to you and I? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's, mighty God's walking in the earth to and fro. God's. Gods, you're gods. I'm not telling you a fairy tale. I'm not telling you something that perhaps is coming now. Beloved, are you the sons of God? You're gods walking in the earth, mighty gods that can never die. Even when you come to the recognition that you don't need to sleep, you won't get sleepy anymore. So you don't have to be put in the ground. You don't have to have dirt thrown over your face. That's Bible. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep but be changed. See, you're getting that right understanding. You're getting that right faith. That faith in Peter conquered death, raised Dorcas up. That faith raised Jesus' body up. That faith raised the little boy, the little girl, those people up. Faith, power over the enemy. Your God's power over the enemy. So then I want you to lift your hands with me now. Did you know all these things I say is going in these little girls' ears? Did you know that? You think they don't hear it. You think they don't know it. It's going in these little boys' ears. They listen to these things. They know what I'm saying. A generation's coming on, John. Amen. They ain't going to think like this other generation. They ain't going to say, John, did you pay your insurance? You know you're getting a little older now. You want to be sure to leave the wife something, John. They're going to say, wait a minute, we ain't supposed to die, this generation coming on. They say, I heard a preacher say we ain't supposed to die. What's this about insurance and all that kind of thing? He said, Brother Pike, don't you believe in paying your way? Abraham said, I'm not going to take your grounds. I'll buy my grounds to bury my dead. Sure, I'd have to pay mine all the way. I don't want nobody to have to do anything. But I'm just telling you something, folks. Maybe you already know it. But if you don't, I'd like for you to get acquainted with it. A great thing is happening in this meeting. This camp meeting marks one of the greatest turn of events ever in the history of mankind. And I say that with my hands raised to heaven with no apologies. I have to stand before God either as a liar, or I have to stand there before God for what I'm saying. It marks one of the greatest turns of event that's ever happened in the history of mankind. So, brethren, if you ain't in, you need to get in. If you're not ready, you need to run. The Bible said, he that receiveth the message, let him run with it. The master, the king's business requires haste. While you've got your heads bowed, a little fellow back over in the corner there somewhere, up in North Georgia, our brother, I'd like for him to come up here. While he prays with you tonight. Now, he loves to feel the Spirit. I tell you, he feels the Spirit. And sometimes he lets you know he feels it. You know, Brother Taylor says, put it under a bushel, no. Put it under a bushel, no. You can't get his under a bushel. So he's going to come up here to dismiss you. And while you're lifting your hands and I feel the mighty Holy Ghost, the Bible said as Peter spoke to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Folks, I've done felt the Holy Ghost fall on you. Just as we've been talking, I felt the Holy Ghost fall on you. He's falling on you again right now. I can feel him. If you can feel him, lift up your hands. If you can feel him falling on you right now, as our brother comes.